Take your Bibles tonight, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. John chapter 20 tonight. While you're turning, just a little while ago, one dear friend of mine came in. Has been here several times, Michael Lambert and his wife over here, wave at us, there you go, and some other folks that I do not know, but we're glad you're here too, thank you for coming, but I presume you had to bring Michael, is that right? Yeah, yep. but we're so glad to have the Lamberts here tonight. Brother Lambert pastors down in the Caribbean, and our teenagers went down there a couple years ago and had a missions trip, did neighborhood Bible time, and Michael has told me several times that hands down that was the best group from America that has ever been to their ministry, and that blessed my heart. So, anyways, good to have you guys tonight with us. All right, John chapter 20 tonight, and if you will look at verse 11, I will read down through verse 19, beginning in verse 11. It says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus," what's the next two words? "Had lain." In other words, he was not there. He resurrected. Verse 13, "And they say unto him," woman, or unto her, they say unto her, the angels now are speaking to Mary, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. Now, I want you to underline that little phrase right there. If you mark in your Bible, underline that little phrase. She turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Now, she's about to figure that out. But she turned herself back and she saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 15, "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if ye have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto Mary," or Jesus saith unto her, "Mary," as always said, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. We'll stop reading right there. And I want you to go back to verse 14, please, and look at the phrase that I had you underline. She turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. I want to speak to you tonight a message that I'm going to entitle, "Turning Back to See Jesus." Turning back to see Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for the way you bless us and stir our hearts with your Word. Lord, I pray tonight that you will bless in a mighty way. I pray that the Holy Spirit will empower me tonight as I speak, that, Lord, it'll not just be my words that are heard, but, Lord, there'll be words that are backed by the unction and by the might of the Holy Spirit of God, so that they grip our hearts and stir our souls. And, Lord, I pray that we will think about some things tonight that will kindle the revival fires burning in our souls. Lord, we need revival in this country. We need revival in our church and in our youth group and in our school and in our homes. So, Lord, help us tonight. And I pray that you will just have freedom to work and to speak individually to each one of our hearts. Bless us now, Lord. We need your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want you to remember, before I actually get to the message, I want you to remember that Mary was in the garden on this Sunday morning because she could not keep herself away. She just could not stay away. She believed what the Lord Jesus had said. She had heard him say many, many times before that he was going to the cross and that he would die on that cross and that they would bury him in the tomb. And then 3 days later, he would come out of that tomb. And she believed every word that he said. She believed that he was the Messiah, the promised Redeemer of mankind. She believed that he would resurrect on the third day. She believed that with all of her heart. You see, it was love for him that brought her to the garden on that Sunday morning, a love that would not let him go. She just could not give up. She had to go. Others, they left. They were around for a day or 2 days, but then they left. But Mary could not stay away. And when she got there, it was early morning, dark, and no doubt she, when she entered, she felt that she would be safe. I mean, after all, for the last 3 days, the soldiers that Pilate had assigned to watch over the grave, the soldiers had been there. She had seen them the day before, and she had seen them the day before that. And she watched them organize when they laid him in the tomb and rolled the stone in front of the tomb. So she found, she figured that she would be safe, even though it was early morning and she was all by herself. But when she got to the tomb, she noticed that they were gone. There were no soldiers anywhere to be found. I wonder if it crossed her mind, is this any place for a woman to be all by herself? But as John so eloquently said in another passage, there is no fear in love. And the love that she had in her heart for her master cast out any fear she might have. So here she was alone seeking Jesus. When she got there, she noticed something had happened. She noticed that the stone had been rolled away. Now, remember, she was there and she saw them roll the stone in front of the opening of the tomb. She saw that with her own eyes. But when she got here on this Sunday morning, she noticed something odd. The stone had been rolled away. I can see her now in my mind's eye as she inches toward the opening of the tomb where the stone had been set. But when she looked inside, Jesus was gone. His grave clothes were there, but he was not there. You say, well, Pastor, how could she see? Well, you'll remember from the text here, when she looked inside the tomb, there were two shining angels which had been dispatched from heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but had I peeked in and saw two angelic beings there, I believe I would have hightailed it out of there. I'm going to be honest with you. I really think, of course, she knew a whole lot more about the situation than any of us know. But when she looked in, the angels were there. And the thing that strikes me, and it has amazed me for a long, long time, the thing that strikes me here is that she seems to be just unaffected by the presence of these angels. It's that does not shock her a bit. Now, if I saw a couple of angels and I knew, I mean, if they were lit up glowing angels like are described here in this passage of Scripture, I don't know. But they don't even faze her. And I find that amazing. You know, it's almost like she expected them to be there. When they spoke to her, she answers them as if there's nothing to this. She speaks, returns an answer as if what she was doing was just normal behavior. It was just something that maybe she had done before. I don't know. Could she have been used to angels attending to the Lord? I don't know. But I'm amazed at the nonchalant, careless, unaffected manner in which she reacted to these two glowing angels from God just a couple of feet away from where she was. Now, as soon as she answered the angels, she heard a rustling sound behind her. It was not in front of her, notice from the text. It was behind her. And with the noise that she heard, all of a sudden, the angels were forgotten. That kind of shows you what was foremost on her heart, doesn't it? Find the Lord at all cost. And so when she heard a little noise behind her, she forgot all about the angels. And I want you to look at verse 14 and look at the way that this is worded by the Apostle John. In words that almost seem incidental, John tells us that she turned back and saw Jesus standing. But don't forget now, it was still dark. And John adds that she did not know yet that it was him. But I read that phrase, and a few things popped into my mind that I want to speak on tonight. I want you to think of the suggestiveness of that phrase. She turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. Now, I want you to think of three areas tonight where this is just so true. I mean, just think of how true this statement so often is. She turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. Let me show you what I mean. You'll understand where I'm going in just a second. Number one, think with me of how true that statement is in regards to the Old Testament scriptures. She turned back, and when she did, she saw Jesus standing. Now, I want you to think of how true that is of the Old Testament scriptures. Folks, how many times have I said to you from this pulpit that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed? And do you know what both Old and New reveal to us? They reveal Jesus. I mean, the amazing thing is how the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is on the pages of the Old Testament scripture. On every page, if you will read your Old Testament, and while you're reading the Old Testament, be looking for Jesus, you'll find him everywhere. You see, Peter tells us that those Old Testament scriptures were written by holy men of old who were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what is that? Being moved, holy men of old being moved of the Holy Ghost. What is that? I'll tell you what it is. That's inspiration. That's inspiration. That is God giving men what he wanted to them to write in his Bible. And God wanted them to tell about his son who was coming to redeem fallen man. That's what the Old Testament scriptures are all about. So what I'm saying to you is you start in Genesis and you go all the way through Malachi and you're going to find Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, Jesus hadn't come yet. No, but God was telling through the Old Testament scriptures, hey, Jesus is coming. And it fills every page. So I want you to understand that what is in that Old Testament, it's not accidental. It's not an accident. There's not one thing in that Old Testament that is an accident. Everything that is in there is what God wanted those men to say. That means that when David gave us the Messianic Psalms, and he's telling us about Jesus. That means when Isaiah gave us his great 53rd chapter that I mentioned to you this morning, where he told us about the suffering servant, God wanted us to know that the suffering servant was coming. You see, moved by inward passion, the Old Testament authors were preachers. But when they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God, those preachers became prophets and they gave us God's word. Holy men of old, used by God Almighty to give God's message of redemption to the world. And then God didn't stop with the Old Testament. God gave us the New Testament through the disciples. Once again, the Holy Ghost spoke and gave these New Testament apostles the message that he wanted in the New Testament. And the wonder of it all is when you read that New Testament, you sit there and say, oh, wait a minute, I read about that back here in the Old Testament. It's amazing how the New Testament tied all of the Old Testament to the life and the ministry of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, like Mary in our text, we can turn ourselves back to the Bible. And when we do, what do we see? We see Jesus in the midst of it all. Folks, it is no wonder that these new Bibles want to get rid of the deity of Christ. It's no wonder that these new Bibles cut out and take away and remove whole passages sometimes that have to do with the Godhead and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no wonder. It's no wonder. And now, like Mary, we can turn ourselves back and we can see Jesus. I don't know about you, but these Wednesday night Bible studies that we're doing, I am loving this. I am loving this. And I don't know if you've noticed the pattern, but what we're doing here is going in there and finding out why this book is supposed to be in the Bible. Why did God put this here? And in every one of them, all it's about is the fact that Jesus is God's eternal Son, and Jesus is going to rule and reign upon this earth. They're all that way. It's all about Jesus. We see His love in the Song of Solomon. We see His ultimate coming triumph in the Messianic Psalms, Psalms of David. We see His bruised and bleeding body on Calvary's cross in Isaiah 53. We see Him as God's Lamb making atonement for our sins in the five books of the law of Moses. I'm saying, Christian, look back. Look back. Turn back. She turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. And I'm just challenging you tonight. Get back in the book. I mean, just get back in the Bible. You say, well, I've read it. Read it again. Just stay in the book and don't neglect your Bible. Both Testaments, Old Testament, New Testament, turning back to see what is there. And when you turn back to see, you will see Jesus. Man in Genesis, there He is, creating the universe, creating man. Establishing the home with a man and a woman, and those two bringing children into the world. I mean, all of the answers to all of life's questions are found in the Bible. And so let me remind you, folks, that you turn back, and when you do, you see Jesus. Now, can I prove to you that that's exactly what happens? Yes, I can. Do you remember just a few hours later from where we are right here in John? You'll read about this in the Gospel of Luke, that a few days before, here are these disciples, and they're leaving Jerusalem. They're on their way. Where did the Bible say? Emmaus. Does that ring a bell? They're going to Emmaus. And all of a sudden, this guy appears, just out of nowhere, starts walking along beside of them. And where are you going? And they said, are you a stranger in these parts? Man, haven't you heard all that's going on? Haven't you heard all that's happened? And he said, no, tell me about it. So they told him all about Jesus being crucified and being buried, and where it is, he's resurrected. Word is, he's alive. And so they got all the way to Emmaus. And the disciples said, man, it's getting late. You're probably hungry. Won't you come in and get something to eat? So Jesus goes in, and then he revealed himself to them. And the Bible says, and beginning at Moses, what's that? That's Genesis. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, what's that? That's the Psalms, that's Isaiah, that's Jeremiah, that's Ezekiel, that's Daniel and Hosea and Joel and Amos and right on down. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In other words, you turn back to the Old Testament, and what are you going to see? Jesus. Jesus. Number two, I want you to think of how true this is in the salvation of your soul. Think of how true this is. Folks, listen, I want you to, just for a few moments, think about when you first got saved. Don't ever get over getting saved. Have a testimony. Don't ever get over the moment you got saved. Never forget the exact moment where you called upon the name of the Lord and trusted Christ as your Savior. Now, let me illustrate this point with my favorite story in the Bible, my favorite parable that was spoken by the Lord. Let me illustrate my point with the story of the prodigal son. I want you to realize that when the prodigal came to himself in the far country, starving to death, the smell of the hog pen all over him, when he came to himself, he did not say, "You know, I really need to get up and get out of here and even go farther away from my father." He didn't say that, did he? No, what did he say? He said, "I must go to my father's house." That's what he said. He said, "I will arise and go to my father." He did not press on to even further distant lands in hope of finding happiness. No, he went back to the father's house. He turned himself back, and when he did, he found what he was looking for. He woke up, and he found himself, and he found what he was looking for. Folks, think about this for a minute. Here is this son, the prodigal son. You with me on that? And he's sitting on the fence, on the hog pen, and he comes to himself. And when he did, the first thing that popped into his mind was my father's house. Now let me ask you, do you remember that Jesus said one time, "Except ye become as little children, you cannot see the kingdom"? Like a needful child, the prodigal returned to his father's door. No one becomes a child of the kingdom by going forward the same way he was going. You only become a child of the kingdom by turning back in simple faith as a little child lives in simple faith. Every child simply trusts in mom and dad to meet their every need. You are never going to see a 4-year-old child walk in and announce to mom and dad, "Mom, Dad, I'm worried about how we're going to pay the mortgage this month." You're never going to hear your 4-year-old say that. They don't worry about those things. They just simply trust that mom and dad are going to provide for them. And brethren, when we get saved, we turn back and see Jesus. That's what happened to me. Man, I was dragged to church as a child. I mean, kicking and screaming. They dragged me to church. I learned Methodist doctrine as a child. And then I learned Baptist doctrine as a child. And then I learned Nazarene doctrine as a child. And then I heard Pentecostal doctrine. I mean, you name it, I heard it. But one day, when I was 16 years of age, I was sitting in a church and the preacher said, "Open your Bible." Oh, there's a new concept. Open your Bible. And when I opened the Bible to the page that he announced, he preached a sermon, and from that Bible, he showed me that what I needed to do was stop heading in the direction that I was going. And when I did, I heard a rustling behind me. And when I turned, I saw Jesus. I saw the gospel and my need of trusting Christ as my Savior. And that's what every person needs. Man, religion doesn't work. And if you've been trying religion, that's why you still got that emptiness in you. Turn around and see Jesus, would you? Quit going the same direction you've been going. You've run far enough down the road looking for the answer. It's time to stop the running, turn, and see Jesus. You see, the way of Mary in the garden is the way that you need to walk. You've tried religion, you've tried reformation, you've tried all the ordinances that all the different churches say you need to do. Well, it's time to stop all that, turn around, and see Jesus. And that's what the majority of folks here in this church have done. You grew up whatever. You belong to Saint Somebody's mortuary. And one day somebody stopped you on the road, or one day you came to a living cross. One day you came to a church service on a big day and the neighbors wouldn't quit inviting you, so you came. And when you did, all of a sudden you were sitting there and it dawned on you, well, wait a minute. That guy just said, I need Jesus. And he proved it from the Bible. What? You must be born again. Me? Yes, you. We all must be born again. And boy, one day you realized, whoa, I need to be saved. And you turned back as a little child. And you came to the Father. And when you did, you found His saving grace met your every heart's need. Then thirdly, I want you to think how true this is concerning revival. Look at it again. She turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. You know, that's what America needs to do. That's what our churches need to do. Man, I've never seen so much apathy, spiritual apathy, as what I see today. I have never seen so much biblical ignorance as what I'm seeing today. I mean, just biblical unconcern all across this land. But my dear friend, whenever a revival comes, it'll come because Christians are turning back to see Jesus. We're not going to see revival through novelties. We're not going to see revival through gadgetry. We're not going to see revival through watering down the Bible. They've been doing that for 50 years. It has not worked. It's hurt, not helped. We're not going to see revival through contemporizing. We are not going to see revival, listen to me now, watch. We're not going to see revival through making the church cool. I am so sick and tired of cool guy Christianity. Makes me want to throw up. Revival can only come when we turn back and see Jesus. Turning back to a simpler faith and a simple faithfulness. Turning back to a renewed vision that comes from the old vision of God's eternal word. Looking back all the way to something as old as the cross of Calvary. That's what we need to look back to. Because I'm telling you, folks, we have lost that view across this country. These knothead preachers all over America think they can take off their suit and their tie. And they think they can put sandals on and a Hawaiian shirt. First of all, let me just say, preacher, nobody wants to look at your old ugly feet. But we think we can put on our sandals and our Hawaiian shirt, and we can stop giving the invitation, and we can bring in a set of drums and get some amplifiers and some guitars, and then grow a goatee and start saying, dude, dude, dude. Everybody's a dude, and if we use the lingo of the day and become cool, that's going to be the answer the world needs. But brethren, I'm here tonight to tell you, it's not working. Let's get back to the book. Let's get back to truth. Let's get back to invitations and soul winning and the bus ministry, and let's not lose our view of the cross. The horrible, ugly, bloody, awful thing that happened on that cross is the only answer for the needs of this nation. And I want you to think about it, folks. Every revival that America has ever had was because Christians looked back. They looked back to the Bible. Man, old George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards and Finney and the Wesley brothers, none of these guys depended on gimmickry or novelties. None of them. They just stood up and boldly preached the Bible with a Bible in their hands. They preached salvation by grace through faith. And they looked back into the Bible, saw Jesus, and they preached Jesus. And revival came. Revival came. Now think of this. In front of Mary was the grave. In front of her was the grave. But wait a minute. Jesus was not there. And he's still not there. He had risen from that grave. It was when she turned herself back that she saw Jesus. Can I remind you that the Lord Jesus himself said to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees who were just steeped in their religion, he told them that their dead religion was nothing more than a sepulcher. Oh, it's painted white on the outside to make it look pretty, but inside there's death. There's death. Hey, Mary, get out of the grave. He ain't in there. Get out of the grave. He's not there. Man, there's a bunch of churches across America that need to start preaching a living Savior. Instead of Jesus not dying on the cross, and instead of Jesus not resurrecting, hey, preacher, that's why your church is dead. You've got no living Savior. I mean, just get out of the grave. Don't go in there. Don't even go in there. There's nothing but death in there. And when Mary looked in, she saw it was empty. And she said, where'd he go? And before she could get an answer, she heard a noise and she turned herself back. And she saw Jesus. She turned herself back and she saw Jesus. And folks, that's exactly what Christians need to do today. That's what a lot of preachers need to do today. Turn yourself back and see Jesus. You know, it's time we get in the Bible once again, reading the Bible. It's time we get back to church three times a week. It's time we get back to prayer and fasting. It's time we get back to old-fashioned biblical tithing. I know times are tough, but hey, God says we're supposed to tithe. Mary was looking for Jesus, but Mary, you're not going to find him in the grave. Turn from the grave, Mary. Turn yourself back. Don't go that direction you were going. Turn. And when you turn, you'll see him. Alive and well. And you know, I think it's just time that we turn from the sepulcher. Look back and see Jesus. He is standing, waiting for us to turn around to him. You can be assured, my friend, the Lord Jesus saw every step that Mary made. And he waited until she stepped inside. And then he came up behind her. What are you looking for? He's not here. Where is he? And then she heard a noise. And looking back, she saw Jesus, standing right there in front of her, ready to reveal the whole story. I need to turn to him. you need to turn to Him. Church, the open door needs to turn around. I need revival. You need revival. We all need revival. We need a revival in Carroll Christian Schools. We need a revival in our homes. We need a revival in the teen department. We need a revival in the choir. We need a revival in the master's club. I mean, we can see it. We can see it if we'll just look back and see Jesus. Too many of you folks got your eyes on the wrong thing. Yeah, get your eyes off of me. Get your eyes on the Lord. When you're sitting there reading your Bible, you're not finding out about me. You're finding out about Jesus. I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like you. Get in the Bible and learn about the Savior. He's the one that's worthy of all praise. Quit looking at the person sitting across the aisle. Quit looking at the person up here in the choir loft. Quit looking at the person on the deacon board. Quit looking at this and looking at that. Just get your eyes on Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm just simply saying to you tonight, this statement is so true when it comes to revival. Turning back to see Jesus.